flat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind the Flat, a weekly podcast that brings debate to life's most challenging questions. I'm Chris Heffernan, and as always, I'm joined by my former flatmates and very good friends, Amy Isles.
Hello.
And Tom Crowther.
Hello.
This week's life-changing question is, what's the worst room to clean in the house? But before that, it's time to get in the zone with Chris's Quiz of the Week. Question number one. According to a 2018 survey by Airtasker, how many hours does the average Brit spend doing household chores each year?
Why are they always okay, yearly?
I think this is going to be a tough one for Amy to answer.
Three.
Don't think she's representative of the average. So, sorry, every year, how many hours is spent cleaning?
Yep.
I don't know. Some people have a whole day, don't they?
What weirdos, Amy, eh?
Who are these people?
I'm thinking about 100 hours, between 100 and 150.
What, a year?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's more. I don't know.
You think it's way more than that?
Yeah. I mean, I think with like where we've had like other of these options before, when we're trying to work it out yearly, we've always assumed there's been like a quantity of people that like a zero. Whereas I think cleaning, like even I probably do, like the I do the bare minimum, but I do. I don't know what that was.
You do what? You. What is that, Amy? Because I don't know how that's involved in cleaning. Okay, I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, words. I do the bare minimum, but I do clean on a weekly basis. I think there's very few people who do like 0 hours of cleaning per week. So.
I mean, I don't know how long they'd survive.
So, what answer are you going to say?
Do you want to head more towards the 200?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, if I've learned anything, it's just to go with what you say. Oh, so no. You pick a number and we'll go with it.
Are you saying 200?
Yes.
Very impressive.
Oh.
208 hours.
Oh.
The average Brit spends cleaning
my
each
luck
year.
Is going to end
finally,
eventually.
We've learned from our mistakes.
The next episode we'll get it so wrong.
Question number two. Which washing powder means parsley in French?
Washing powder. So there's Daz, there's Ariel, there's... What are the washing
Calgon.
Powder? Calgon. That's... Oh, no, it is... It's not detergent, though, is it? It's what you use to clean your washing machine.
Washing machines live longer with Calgon.
Persil.
Oh, yes. Yes. What a shout. Let's go with that one.
Correct. Well
yeah.
done.
It was on the tip of my tongue that whole time. And I was just getting
yeah,
there.
I was thinking,
there.
I'm sure this one beginning with a P. I couldn't grasp it though. Well done, Tom.
Question number three. What is the dirtiest thing you touch every day in your house?
Door handles.
Yeah, surely.
No.
Oh. There was no discussion on that one.
It is to do with cleaning.
The toilet brush. Oh, no. On a daily basis.
I don't need to use that every day. I don't know what you're doing, Amy. But
the correct answer is...
Taps.
Sponges and dishcloths.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
A kitchen sponge has 10 million bacteria per square inch. Ooh. That is about 200,000 more than the toilet seat.
Technically, I wear gloves when I do my washing up, so I'm not actually touching the sponges.
I'm not actually touching the sponges because I wear gloves. Sorry.
And as for dishcloths, this is quite disgusting.
Oh, no.
Of those studied in Canada and the US, 25.6% of them had E. coli on them, and 14% had salmonella on them.
What?
Enjoy cleaning.
What's the solution there? Because you can't just not use them. I suppose wash them more frequently, probably.
You don't just use the same one for all 208 hours of your yearly cleaning and then go, I think we deserve a new sponge now.
It's certainly making me consider how frequently I refresh my dishcloths.
Question number four. In which year did James Murray Spangler invent the world's first portable electric vacuum cleaner?
Firstly, it's a name what and a half, a name. Isn't it? Wow!
A. 1897, B. 1908, C. 1921.
Should we go just middle of the road? Because we very rarely do that.
Yeah. Yeah, go on then.
On fire this week. Yeah. 1908 is the correct answer. Spangler created the electric suction sweeper, which utilised an electric fan to create suction and a pillowcase to collect dirt and dust. He even added a rotating brush to dislodge debris before it was sucked up. But unfortunately, he just didn't have the resources to bring his invention to the mass market. Aww. So he patented his design and sold it to William Henry Hoover.
Wowzers. Fascinating.
And you're
not even with a name like Spangler. We could all be going around spangling our houses.
Oh, that would have been so been such better.
Who wants to go around hoovering when you can go around spangling?
About time I did my weekly spangle.
Question number 5. Kills germs dead is the slogan for which cleaning product?
Is that like Mr. Muscle or Silit Bang? What we got?
No, Silit Bang is bang, the dirt is gone.
Of course. What's Mr. Muscle then?
I mean, it could be Mr. Muscle. I can't think of what Mr. Muscle's is.
Dettol seems a bit too serious for it to be Dettol. You know, that's very like, we are scientifically the best. And whereas it's like Mr. Yeah. Muscle could be like, punch you in the face and your gems will die.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
I feel like it's a Mr. Muscle kind of phrase.
No.
Oh.
Mr. Muscle, I've just looked it up, is clean less, live more.
Oh, how boring.
I've never ever heard of that.
That's probably why, because it's awful.
Kills germs dead is Domestos.
Ah,
Domestos.
Of course.
Kill germs dead.
Sounds kind of Greek, doesn't it? Stavros, Domestos.
So it's now time to debate. The motion before the flat today is the kitchen is the worst room to clean. This week's caveat is we're talking about an average regular clean. No Aggie and Kim needed here. I knew Amy would get that reference. And I knew Tom wouldn't have a clue what I was talking about.
Aggie and Kim?
So I can't remember Aggie's surname, but it's Kim Woodburn. And they used to do a cleaning show where they'd go
in. Is this a reality TV show?
Not quite.
Can I guess what it is? It's they go around to someone's house, they've got a disgusting house, and they just do a big old deep clean.
Pretty
exactly,
much.
Tom. That's wow. Kim and Aggie.
What an inventive TV show.
What was the show called?
The show was called How Clean Is Your House?
How inventive.
An inventive title for a very inventive format.
Other than that, the rules are the same as always. No swearing, no taking offence, and of course, no pompous points. Once again, we start with an affirmative statement. This week from me on the killer that is kitchen cleaning. So I think the biggest thing about cleaning the kitchen is the scale of dirty it can get in such a short amount of time. In that you can clean the kitchen in the morning, and once you've cooked a meal, it looks dirty again. Because it's so easy for mess to come about in a kitchen. You cut some bread and it's very crummy. You end up with crumbs and you wipe them up, but there's always these little cracks, or they get caught under the bread bin or the toaster there, or caught under the bread or the fruit bowl. You can't quite wipe them out, so you get that. You cook and things always splatter, okay? When you're cooking, splatter, or you put something in the microwave and oh, it splatters. There's just splatters and crumbs, and you peel something and a tiny bit of peel goes on the floor and you miss to pick it up. It mess just seems to always be happening in a kitchen that you can just never win.
I'll give you a point, because I think kitchen is definitely the one where that you get the highest volume of obvious mess in the quickest period of time. But I think with the kitchen, the key is just clean as you go. And because it's obvious and because it happens and you see it happen, you clean as you go. Like if you're buttering some toast and you spill some crumbs, you wipe it and you put the cloth back. with other areas of the house, it's not one big thing that causes it to be gross. I mean, if it is, you've got probably a bigger problem on your hand than your average clean. But it's rather it is lots of build-up of smaller things. And so the thing is with the kitchen is, you know, you can target it. If you spill some tomato sauce out the side of the pan and it lands on the hob, you know, you just give it a wipe off.
Do you?
Because you've seen it happen. Yeah, every time.
Really? I've got to say... Yeah. In our flat at uni, I do not think that hob was being wiped every time someone splattered something.
And I'd recall that someone's happening.
Someone's lying.
I think the problem that we had there is because there were often lots of people cooking at the same time. And so, you know, it was a kind of tragedy of the commons sort of situation where, you know, it's common land, so no one felt like they were individually responsible for it. But, you know, now I live in a smaller household, I'm a lot more responsible and directly accountable for the mess that I make. So
I feel like I'm just going to go down in flames in this podcast because I'm a messy person. So I feel like, A, I'm going to argue for your 2 points, and B, my own point is just going to be absolutely slated. But anyway, on this particular point, I think the problem with cleaning as you go is, for me, shocker, I'm a very messy cook. And also, whilst you're cooking, like, you're under a lot of time pressure, like, to make sure things are done at the right time. And then adding, like, cleaning on top of that is just a bit too much to juggle for me. So
I couldn't have put it better myself, Amy. Thank you. Welcome to Team Kitchen.
Would you like to award me a point on your behalf?
See, I don't know about this whole idea that, you know, you can't clean as you go. I think the key here is just to be prepared when you're cooking. Don't leave everything to the last minute. Oh, no, it says in the recipe that I've got to put mushrooms in 1 minute and I haven't even got them out the fridge yet, let alone cut them up and, you know, got them ready. So, you know, prepare as you go. Think about what you're going to do before you do it rather than just, you know, splash everything. Like, oh, I'm just going to throw half a can of this across the kitchen and see what goes.
But Tom, we're talking about human beings, okay? Not robots, okay?
Not professional chefs.
You go into the kitchen and you just miss things. You cook them and you go, you know what? I just can't be bothered to clean the kitchen now. And so you do go, oh, don't worry. It's cleaning day in a couple of days' time. It will get cleaned then. So I don't think it's a good enough excuse to say, just clean the kitchen every day, and then when you come to your weekly clean at the end of the week, the kitchen won't be very hard to clean. Sure.
I'm not saying, like, every time that something goes wrong, you need to get the Dettol out and wipe the surfaces. I'm just saying, no, have a cloth to hand, and if you spill something, just quickly... Like, it would take 2 seconds. It's really not that big of a deal. I'm not saying, like, oh, no, if you spill something, give it a proper scrub down and wipe it. It just makes things a lot easier for when you come down round to your weekly clean to actually make things, you know, respectable.
Yeah, I think, Tom, thinking about it, my mum, her kitchen is always immaculate. Like, well, the whole house is immaculate. I don't really know how she birthed me. And I'm just this living embodiment of entropy because my mum is like, and she will clean down after. She might not do it during the cooking, but once the meal's finished, like, in about like 10 to 20 minutes, the kitchen will be clean again because she'll just give everything quick. She'll do the washing up, chuck stuff in the dishwasher, give everything a quick wipe, and she makes it look effortless. And I'm just there like, how?
So makes I think... it look effortless, but it's not effortless, is it? I think this is a point in itself, in that you end up cleaning the kitchen every day, that it gets so dirty and it needs this cleaning that it's not a once weekly clean. Because if you left it to just once a week, imagine the state of your kitchen. The other places in the house can be left for a week and be cleaned and no one's going in them thinking, this is vile. But if you did not clean the kitchen and you cooked normally, your kitchen would be dirty. And I think that's part of the point, that the kitchen demands more than just a weekly clean, and that's why it's so burdensome.
Yeah.
Fine, you get a point, I think.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, there is one element of, I suppose it kind of comes under, I don't know whether you would count this, but I'm going to count this. Doing the dishes is part of that daily ritual that you talk about. You know, you can't leave your dishes until the end of the week because it will pile up. But actually, I find doing the dishes is quite a nice point. I kind of enjoy it to some extent. I like to pop a podcast on or listen to some music. You know, just 20 minutes out of your day where you're not actually doing something really strenuous. You know, you can just, you have to do it. So it's time out of your day regardless of what happens. You just get it done.
I'll give you a point there because I do quite enjoy washing up. I actually do find it quite a staple in my day. So, Tom, I'll give you a point there.
On the point of washing up, I've got to say, in the house or the house share that I live in now, we have a dishwasher. And since having a dishwasher, I've never looked back. Like, being totally honest, and this is so awful, I can't actually remember the last time I did washing up. So, it's everything.
Look at this life of luxury that you're living.
My landlord bought all our cutlery and crockery and like kitchenware as well. So, and he made sure everything was like dishwashable. So,
is he paying your rent as well?
How many times do you put the dishwasher on a day?
Probably, I mean, there's four of us here at the minute, but it probably goes, like, it goes on overnight, and then we might put it on once during the day as well, just depending on how much washing up there is.
I bet you don't pay for your electricity bill, do you?
No, my landlord sorts that out as well.
Yeah, you would not be putting your dishwasher on twice a day if you were paying for the electricity bill on top of that. But what I'd say as well is, okay, is the thing about, is the size of the kitchen, okay? The kitchen is often quite a large room in a house. And so you've got a vast area to clean, and then you've got a real variety of items to clean, in that you've got the microwave, where you've got to be scraping food off the top of it sometimes when it gets splattered on there.
Just put some cling film over the top of what you're microwaving.
But people don't always do that, because they're bad people.
Live with better people.
The oven, okay? The elbow grease that goes into cleaning an oven, as Amy's mum will attest to, okay? It is no easy job.
I think it's probably worth clarifying why Amy's mum would attest to that, because otherwise it just makes it sound like she does cleaning all the time.
Amy's mum cleaned our oven after a year of living in a flat.
She did.
And did a spectacular job.
It was better when we left than when we moved in, for sure. On both occasions,
feel like
she did it twice.
There's a real distinct possibility that she just went out and bought a new oven and replaced it in the time that we weren't there. You know, we've gone out, popped to the shops, and we've come back, and it's like, oh, someone's replaced our oven.
But you've got that tough. And then I feel the most annoying thing is grease, okay? So, like, around the hob area, on the cupboard doors and stuff, and on the extractor fan, and you wipe it, but it just doesn't seem to go anywhere. There's always that little mark you've missed, that little smudge, and it's infuriating, because you wipe and wipe and wipe, you step back and you go, well, how's that bit there? So you go back and you wipe and wipe, well, no, how's it there? And it just seems to just always be there. So it's tough, and it's infuriating, because it doesn't go away.
I'll give you a point there. Yeah. I think it's really, really hard, particularly greasy stuff, because it's hydrophobic. You know, you can't just wipe it away with water. You've got to use something interesting and special to get rid of it properly. So.
Yeah, I think one more thing that gets me about the kitchen as well. I've just decided I'm just going to argue for everyone this week. I'm just going to...
You go for it, Amy.
Just couldn't
Points
help
for
herself.
All. You get a point. You get a point. But...
The world's most boring Oprah.
Literally talking about cleaning. But I think the thing with the kitchen that you don't get in other areas of the house is that it's food waste, which in itself is disgusting. Like in the sink where you've like washed your if you get some remnants of leftovers that you've washed off and it just sits in the plug hole and you've either got to pick it out and it's all soggy because it's been like saturated in water. And if you forget about it...
Tom's favourite word, it's sodden.
And if it's like, oh, and if you forget about it, then it starts to smell and just any food waste.
So, moving on.
Food waste, disgusting.
I can't deal with the imagery of this. It's making me squeamish at this point.
I've just thought, though...
Bits are gross. I hate the idea of bits. Bits on things. I know that sounds really vague, but everyone knows what you mean. You know, you get a bit just like if you it's the worst place for standing on stuff as well.
Oh,
you're barefoot
yeah.
in the kitchen and there's like a pee on the floor or something and you get stuck between your toes like, oh no.
It is.
Can we move on, Chris? I don't like this anymore.
It's really grim, the kitchen, isn't it, Tom? So let's go over to Tom, how would you like to make this less grim? Which room would you like to talk about cleaning?
Well, I'm going to talk about the bathroom. Yay! Because everyone knows that all of the nice and clean things that happen with your body happen in the bathroom. I mean, that's basically the most important point that I think I'm going to make this whole debate is the bathroom is the one where you have to clean the bog. No psychopath on earth can say that they enjoy sticking their hand down the toilet to clean it.
I'm going to come in here, okay,
oh my God,
and say that I actually don't mind cleaning the loo. And the reason is you're given a very appropriate and successful tool to clean the loo. Whereas with food, you're having to get quite up close and personal in the kitchen. Like if stuff's stuck down the plug hole, there's not a nice tool that's on a long stick so you can be as far away from the food as possible to scrape it out. You've got to get in there with your hands, and you can have gloves, but you're still sensing that I'm touching this. I've got my hands on this mucky food. Whereas cleaning the loo, someone invented a toilet brush. So you've not got to clean it with your hands. You've not got to actually get into the loo with your hands and your head's in the loo. You've got a nice stick, wave it round. You're miles away from any poo.
But the point here is that the stakes are so much higher in the bathroom. You know, the reason that tool has been made is out of necessity. You know, if you accidentally touch some old food, fine. If you slip and your hand falls, no, it's not happening. It's not okay. There's a reason that it's so bad to clean the bathroom. And that's why you have the toilet brush. It's there because it's so bad that you couldn't possibly touch it.
And now it's easier because you have the tool. It's no longer as bad. The tool has alleviated the badness.
Now I've got.
And you've never used a cloth in the kitchen. I don't know what you're on about.
I've got to come in here and give Tom a point. I think the whole idea of like bodily fluids in the bathroom and cleaning up that aspect of things is. Especially if you've got like a shared bathroom as well, and it's not just your own fluids that you're cleaning up. Like it is the place, and like it's the place when you're a bit ill after a night out, maybe that you run to.
Why
first.
Did we pick this topic?
I can't not give him a point for that. But the thing I like cleaning about bathrooms is, for me, that sense. Of like, I feel like a bathroom's the one place where once you've cleaned it, you really feel like it's clean. Like with a kitchen, it's still a bit like there's still food here in this vicinity. With a bathroom, once it's clean, like I love my bathroom. I don't know what it is about bathrooms, but they're like my little sanctuary. I always feel like calm in a bathroom when it's nice and clean, and you've got that kind of fresh smell of detergent and cleanliness. And you go in for a shower and it's all sparkly and clean. It's just lovely.
I'm going to give Amy a point there, because you can make a bathroom properly shiny. Like your bathroom shiny. Can sparkle with cleanliness. And that is lovely.
Well, I think just picking up on something that Chris mentioned earlier on in his argument, which is the idea of the grease being really hard to clean. I think I've found something that's harder to clean, to get rid of definitively in the bathroom
Pray
than
tell.
Grease. It's hair.
Oh.
Hair is so hard to clean up. If it's on the bath, you know, you give it a wipe. How is it still there? How did I not get that? Give it another go. It's still there. It's either down the plug hole or it's around the bath. It's on the floor. It just never goes away. No matter how much you clean, the closer you look, there's always just some hair somewhere.
Yeah, giving you a point, Tom. Living with Amy, 2 years, hair everywhere.
Or cleaning the plug hole of a bathroom, I would argue that's possibly worse than the toilet. Like when you, because that's definitely not something you do on a daily basis. And not gonna lie, sometimes if I'm honest, not even on a weekly basis. But then when you come to do it, and you've got all this clogged up matted hair with like soap, you know, when you get like soap residue and it's all like in it. Why did we choose this topic? I'm with you, Tom. It's just giving me like, oh no, yeah, in the yeah.
But again, I'm going to come back here. The bathroom, out of all of the rooms we're talking about, again, mm-hmm. has the most inventions and the most design to be self-cleaning. Okay, when you go to the loo, it doesn't just like go down a hole and then there's mess and you've got to wipe all the mess up. you flush the loo. It cleans itself for you. Okay. Yes, some remnants may be left behind, but on the whole, it's cleaned. Okay. When you cook in your kitchen, you don't suddenly press a button and the side is cleaned. Okay. When you go in the shower, you're cleaning yourself. To the large majority, yes, you've got hair, and yes, it's a pain. But again, on the large majority, you've not got dirt splattered everywhere that you've then got to, when you come to your weekly clean, wipe away. The shower is clean, in many ways, is cleaning the shower as you go along.
Okay, I'm not having this, the idea that you don't have something in the kitchen that cleans things for you. You know, in the kitchen, you have a dishwasher. You know, if you're going into other rooms in the house and you want a Hoover, there's a Hoover that helps you do that. In the bathroom, it is all your own work. You've got to use toilet brushes, you've got to use cloths, but everything is done by hand. As we've said, dishwashers are a thing, Hoovers are a thing, you could even get robot Hoovers now. There are so many things in other rooms in the house, but because of the type of thing you have to do in the bathroom, it's always your work that has to go into making it clean.
I think I've got to give a point to Chris in the... I get his point about some aspects of it being not self-cleaning, because I don't think that's right, because you always get residue, but I think it's... I honestly think it's elements of the bathroom are easier to clean than elements of the kitchen, because it's a place designed for cleaning, essentially, apart from maybe the toilet, but the sink and the shower or the bathtub are places designed for getting yourself clean. And therefore, I think it's logical that it shouldn't take as much effort to make them clean.
Well, Amy, you've said some amazing points why the kitchen's horrible to clean. You've said some amazing points on why the bathroom is horrible to clean. But now it's your chance to properly shine, okay? Because now your moment to argue for your own room, for what is the hardest room to clean, Amy.
I've gone for the bedroom, but I feel like I'm going to go down in flames, because I feel like this is such a me thing and no one else feels the same way that I do about the bedroom. And I think the thing is, it's not even that I don't enjoy cleaning. I'm just going to shoot myself in the foot here probably. But it's not even that I don't enjoy cleaning my bedroom, because when I give it like a properly good tidy once every 6 months maybe, I really enjoy like the organisational aspects of the tidying. But it just seems to get messy all of the time. And I just hate, like, living in a space that is constantly... I'm just looking around myself now because I'm like, it's just a mess. And I don't... It's just a constant battle of keeping my bedroom tidy. And I feel like because I own so much stuff, it just gets everywhere. And like I think the most frustrating thing I find about cleaning my bedroom is that I find a place for all my stuff, I fit it all in nice and neatly, it looks beautiful, and then I find one more thing that needs to go in that drawer or on that shelf, and I haven't got space for it anymore. So then I'm like, I've just messed up my system. So it just frustrates me.
Okay, I'm going to give a point to Amy just because I know what Amy's bedrooms look like. And if everyone had to tidy Amy's bedroom, then I really do feel like we wouldn't have time to get anything else in this world done. We would just be constantly cleaning things and picking things up off the floor.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing, though. I think an important distinction here, Amy, is that you're not, like, gross. There's not just, like, stuff spewing all over the place. It's just untidy.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that frustrates me the most about it, is that, like, it's not even that it's unclean. It's just... a mess. And then, but there's so many, I don't really know where to begin. It's like when I come to tidy my room, I just don't know where to start. Let's start with the floor drape, because I feel like this is quite a strong point. So I have a lot.
Go on, Amy, get it all out.
It might be quite cathartic, this, but I have a lot of clothes, and I feel like when I do my washing, I put them all on my bed, and then I get distracted by something else. So I never have time to hang them up. So they just end up on the floor, which just, it's so silly. Like,
but
I don't...
clean clothes.
Well, I have a...
On the floor?
No.
Tread carefully, Amy, because I think Tom might have a heart attack.
But then, like, when I've worn... I have like a clean pile at one end of my bed currently, and a dirty pile at the other end of my bed.
No.
Right, okay. Moving aside from the floor drape, because that's not getting me anywhere. I feel like with the kitchen and the bathroom, when you're living in a house share, like we did at university and like I'm doing now, they are communal spaces generally that everyone uses. So I always felt like more pressure to keep them clean and tidy, which there is a point to this, which for me made me more motivated to clean them, because we had, when we were at uni, we had like a cleaning rota, and also because like of the way others kind of use that space, it's a responsibility to keep them clean. So I didn't really have a gripe with cleaning them because it had to be done. But with my room, that's my space where other people don't really come into, and I feel like I can kind of do what I want with that space. So I don't
this
really
have...
This
is a real damning reflection on your own level of self-respect, isn't it?
It is a bit. But also, at the same time, like, I don't have that motivation to clean my bedroom because I know that people aren't really going to come in and see it. So I think that makes it more difficult and more, like, for me, like, worse to clean, because I just don't have the motivation to do it because no one's going to see it.
I'm going to give you a point here, Amy.
Thank you.
Because
how am I doing this?
I actually understand your point.
Yeah.
In that when you have someone coming round for coffee, okay?
Yeah.
You invite someone round for coffee, you have that impetus to, right, I'm going to vacuum the lounge, plump up the cushions, I'm going to give the kitchen a wipe down. You have that motivation. I want this to look nice. But the bedroom does always get forgotten. And I think that's the thing, that it's finding that motivation to keep it clean. And again, because it doesn't get dirty, which is one of the reasons I'd say is against the bedroom being the worst room, is the other rooms are disgusting. Like clearing up dirty food, disgusting. Clearing up poop, disgusting. Okay.
Oh, he went there. He said it.
There's
I
really
said it like right into the microphone as well. He went really up close and went, poop.
There are really disgusting things, and unfortunately the bathroom doesn't cut it there. It's not disgusting, but on the flip side of that, you have got, like you've said, this issue with their motivation then isn't there, because it's not a health risk, it's just untidiness.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of leads me on to another point that we made. I get your point there, and I'll give you a point for that, in that it's not really disgusting to clean your bedroom. But kind of going back to what we said about the kitchen, in that it needs like constant attention, I feel like the reason why my bedroom is so messy is because I don't give it that constant attention. Like, I'm too busy kind of devoting my time to other things that I want to be doing. Whereas I know a lot of people, perhaps normal people, like, they constantly make an effort to keep it tidy. And I'll fully admit, I'm so negligent of my room because I just chuck things everywhere because I've got other stuff to do. But whereas other people kind of don't really see that as a chore, for me, like, that constantly keeping things neat and tidy is something I struggle with, and like, I think that's why I find it so difficult to keep it clean. Oh my gosh, this feels like a therapy session. We're getting to the root of my problems, guys.
I think there is, though, something in the whole tidy room, tidy mind sort of thing. And I think because your bedroom is yours and it's the place that was most closely associated with, you know, your own personality, that's the place that's probably the most important to keep tidy. And so I think actually it isn't that bad, because it has a real significant benefit for your own mindset. You know, there's an outcome there that you can directly see the impact of. I think if I have a tidy, organized room, I feel a lot more I feel a lot better about myself than if, for instance, I had a tidy, organized kitchen or bathroom. You know, I'm in my room a lot more than I am in the other areas. And so to keep it clean has that benefit to it. To keep it tidy has that benefit to it.
I'm going
to
give you a point there, Tom. I feel
fair play.
Very happy when my room is ordered.
Yeah, fair play. But kind of, that kind of leads me on to my final point, which I kind of want to put in two parts now, because one, just to counteract that, a lot of research says that intelligent and creative people have messy rooms. Like, there are a lot of studies about that. So I'm just going to throw that in there just to try and make myself feel better about the mess I live in.
I don't know if that adds to your argument. I just think that adds to your own excuses.
Chuck it in there to make myself feel better.
I've heard that. I've heard that. Very
Thanks,
true.
Chris. Thank you. But on, like, kind of my final point is that the one part I really don't like once I've cleaned my room is that I can never find where anything is. Like, I would say, I know everyone I meet that's seen my room goes, what, when I say this, but I feel like I live in a semi-organised mess. Like, although my room is a complete state, I know where everything is. I can find something in 5 seconds. Once I've tidied it, everything's lost. I've no idea where I've put stuff because that's not how my mind works. And I feel like coming back to the kind of those studies, because I'd like to think I'm quite a creative person. I think that's why my, as you say, your room reflects your personality. And I think that's why mine is a mess, because my mind is kind of everywhere most of the time. And that's why I chuck things everywhere. But within that, because I know how that, I think it's, I don't know, I'm going to attribute it to psychology. Chris, I know your girlfriend will have something, I know Naomi will have something to say about that. But I feel like that's how my mind works, because I go through those connections in my mind of like, oh yeah, I chucked that there because of blah, 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 blah.
I completely agree with you. I mean, when I wrote essays and stuff, my bedroom was piled high with paper in all random places. And most of the time, I knew where it was. But I feel I can't give you a point on the basis of having a messy bedroom for you, therefore, works. It's part of life. So therefore, there is no need to tidy it. So tidying it can't be a chore because you don't need to do it. Whereas
I think the kitchen
and the bathroom are a chore because you have to clean them. You can't just go.
That's what makes it worse.
Oh, it helps me out. So you can just say, I don't need to tidy my bed. The bedroom doesn't need tidying in this instance.
But it does, though, Chris.
Can't be the worst room to clean because you don't need to clean it.
That's the
solid point from Chris. And I think if you care about cleaning your bedroom and keeping your bedroom tidy, it doesn't feel as much of a chore because you get something out of it. So actually,
I did caveat this when I started with, it's a very me problem. Like,
very personal.
Oh dear, I'm just a mess.
Well, I think that brings us to a very nice conclusion. So it is time to look at the scores on the doors. Tom's face is brilliant. He's so nervous here. He's hoping that Amy didn't get too many points for sort of a therapy session.
Yeah, if anything, Amy, you should be paying us.
I'm going to go and have a bit of a cry now after this.
So, on 3 points... we do have the bedroom and
what
Amy.
A shocker.
Next up on 4 points, we have Tom and the bathroom.
Oh.
But the nastiness of food and cleaning out the plug car has taken it. We have me and the kitchen on 5 points.
I think well I would done, have been Chris. Disappointed if I'd have come anywhere else but last. It just wouldn't have fitted. Well done,
expectations
Chris.
Very closely meet reality.
So there you have it. The kitchen is the worst room to clean. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to get in contact with us or tell your friends all about us, then you can either through
our social media. On Facebook, we're Mind the Flat Podcast. On Instagram, we're at mindtheflat_podcast. And on Twitter, we're at mindtheflat_pod.
Or you can email us at mindtheflatpodcast@gmail.com.
Or visit our website, mindtheflatpodcast.com, where we've got all our episodes from this series and series one. And we'll be back again next week with more debate on another of life's most challenging questions. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
I'm going to go and tidy my room now.